So in Genesis 32, we're going to see this guy who wrestles with God. And so as a kid growing up, you hear these, you watch your, these wrestle heroes of yours, so to speak. And then you hear about, oh, there's guys in the Bible who wrestle. And they wrestle with God. And you're like, I got to read that story, right? That was not in Sunday school. You know, that's one of those stories we don't talk about, right? But I want to share one of my favorite passages because it's going to look at what men really struggle with. And if you're ladies in here, you're like, it's about time I heard a message on this topic so I can understand my husband or the man in my life. And if you're a guy in the room, you're like, Andy, do not share this message because you're going to give them insight into us. Don't do that. And so I apologize ahead of time, guys, for giving and revealing these secrets out for us, all right? So I'm going to read the passage here, and then we'll look at this and apply it to our life today. Verse 22 is where we're going to start at. So that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River there. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak, and so all night long he was wrestling with this man. And so we see in verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He was at a pivotal moment, crisis moment in his life. He says, the man asked him, "What is your name?" He says, "Jacob." The man said, "Your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men," there's our key verse, "and have overcome." And so Jesus uses even that word overcome in Revelation 2 and 3 a lot, talking about those who overcome will inherit a blessing, right? And so it's a great passage to look at. There's seven blessings there in Revelation 2 to 3 that are overwhelming. And so verse 29, Jacob says, "Please tell me your name." And he goes, "Well, why do you ask my name?" But then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face." That's who he was wrestling with. "And yet my life was spared." So Father, we just pray that you would just take your word today in this passage. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us as men, as a church, about the things that we wrestle with you and with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see Jacob here wrestling with the Lord, and he marks this place, giving it a name called Peniel. And so he gives the name because he saw God face to face there, and yet his life was spared. God also changed his name from Jacob to Israel, very important passage there. And so God has, he has this God moment, and God changes his name because we're going to see why that's important because of this transaction in this point in his life. And so we're going to see in this story, in this message today, we're going to see Jacob from his birth to being a grandpa. So we're going to see his all four stages of his life, or all four quarters, as some guys say. You know, I am in the fourth quarter, my grandpa in the fourth quarter of my life, you know. And so I'm like in that halftime moment. I'm 48, and I'm trying to think of learning from my two quarters, the first quarter, like a coach would, is like, how am I going to prepare for the next third and fourth quarter? Does that make sense? It's like, it's halftime, I got to reevaluate things. So the first half didn't go so well, how am I going to do the second half, right? And so, or if things went really well, how am I going to keep that going, all right? And so it's a great moment to do that, right? And so we got, like, guys like sports, so we like, hey, man, we do that when we watch a basketball or football game. It's like, man, they need to make some changes, or they're going to lose this game, right? I mean, we just do that mentally, right? And so we need to do that to our own lives. And so as we study this overview of Jacob's life here, we're going to see all four quarters of his life. And so no matter what quarter you're in, maybe you're in the second quarter, maybe in the third quarter, Always get a mentor to help you in that next quarter of life. A guy that's already been a quarter ahead of you. It's like, hey, what are some wisdom I can gain from you in this season? I'm going through this. What are some memories or tools or tips you can give me just to help me in this next third and fourth quarter of my life? That's great wisdom, right? That's just asking for counsel. And so if you want to be wise, you got to walk with the wise, right? So iron sharpens iron. So we're going to see these four stages of his life here. So number one, you're going to see him wrestle with his place in the family. And sometimes as guys or even as people, we ask ourselves, what's my role in the family dynamic, right? And so we're just going to look at their family dynamic, and you can look at your own and evaluate it. And so Jacob was a twin. It wasn't an identical twin situation because Esau was very different than him. But yet Esau was older. He had the birthright. He had the father's blessing and all that kind of stuff, being the firstborn, right? So Jacob was the second. And so yet there was a prophecy within the womb of Rebecca. And so Rebecca was like, what's going on in here? These two babies in here are just like wrestling and like kicking like crazy. And so God tells her, hey, two nations are in your womb. Two people groups will come from this. Yet the older will serve the younger and one will be stronger than the other. Now here's an amazing thing when you think about when we study prophecy this fall. We have to understand Genesis because it's going to reveal itself back in Revelation. Right? So think about this. The nation of Israel still struggles with the nation of Esau. You got to follow that, right? It was thousands of years of history of struggling, right? And wrestling with each other over the blessing and property and inheritance, right? And so you see this again in this tension between these two boys. And so they're trying to find themselves because Esau had his father's favoritism, so to speak. They had a joint passion of hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff, where Jacob was more of like a mama's boy in the kitchen and helping there. And so there's nothing wrong with hunting and fishing and all those kinds of things, or even being a chef or a cook. If, hey, I just like to cook, right? So we gave a grill away to, where's Mike at? Where's Mike? I saw him earlier. Maybe he's here first service. We gave the gift away to Mike Burnett. And so he was just like, oh, great. But his grandson got it. And so I was like, man, you need to honor your grandpa here and give it to your papa. And he's like, oh, I know. He bought my dinner. So he gave him the little grill. And so sometimes, guys, there's nothing better than just grilling out. Am I right? Getting a nice piece of meat and just having a good time, just watching that thing like cook to perfection and then eating it. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And so Jacob had his mother's favoritism, so there was just the two of them. And so there was just the mom and dad were just playing each other favorites here. But that created tension in the home. So it was a weird dynamic, right? And so we're going to see how that kind of plays out in just a little bit. And so think about this. Isaac, who was going to be the dad of these two boys, was 60 when they were born. It's like, well, there's a surprise, two kids. You know, it's like, now I'm going to be 78 when they graduate. He's already doing the math. And so what a way to start your father when you're 60, right? And so this was his story, right? Being a father for the first time, and he's like, oh, man, I'm never going to get some rest. I was looking forward to some, but now I'm not going to get any rest. But Esau was the first to marry, as we're going to see. He married a Canaanite woman and created a family problem as well. His parents didn't have their approval over his wife because he went outside the family of faith to marry somebody, and that created tension within the family. And later he realized, hey, my mom and dad didn't have their blessing on this. So he went to a distant family, to Ishmael, you know, who Isaac had tension with, and married there. And it's like, Esau, it's like, man, quit making wrong choices, right? And so he constantly was making wrong choices here, and right? And so Jacob didn't make much better, but he made some better ones. Does that make sense? And so, but that created a family tension. And so guys and gals, if you're young and you're not married yet, always remember this principle. Always marry a Christian person. If you're a Christian, marry a Christian person, number one. That's God's boundary for you, right? And so then, secondly, have your parents' blessing. Get their approval. What do you think, mom and dad? Right? That blessing is huge, right? You even see that on The Bachelor. I mean, here's a worldly show, and they're wanting their parents' blessing. I don't know, just like, where have we missed that in this life, right? And so Esau was like, I don't care about my family's blessing. I'm just going to do what I want. But yet it created a problem. So just learn from Scripture. It's there to give us a reason why for everything, right? And so Rebecca was like, Isaac, we got to send Jacob away to find a spouse because I can't deal with Esau's wives, right? And so I want to make sure Jacob gets the right one. And so they had that tension in family dynamic. And so maybe Jacob was, you know, single. He saw his older brother get married. He always wanted the family. So there was that jealousy or comparison going on. It's just like, there's that tension. And so sometimes there's that question of what's my role in the family dynamic. And sometimes we still go through that. Families change. We get older. The dynamic of things change. Our roles change. Our parents took care of us. We should take care of our parents now. That may be your situation. So now we've turned from child to caring for them, right? But what a blessing to do that, right? You see that in Scripture as well. You see Jacob being taken care of by Joseph and his brothers. And so it's an amazing story. So secondly, with their name and purpose in life. So they're dealing with the question, what am I really here for? Right? And so the family name in their culture also meant or projected what you were going to do or be like. Right? So they took time to study their child or the incident where they were born or how they came out. In this situation, that's what they did. So Esau came out red and hairy, so she named him Esau, which means red and hairy one. Right? And so it's like, if you learn names in the Bible, you're like, well, I'll never name my son that, even though he may be hairy, you know, maybe he look a little red. And so, so then Jacob comes out grabbing the heel of his brother. He came out second, but he grabbed the heel, so that she named him Jacob because it means one who grasps the heel, or it can be translated figuratively, deceiver, one who deceives. And so you see that character trait being portrayed in his character with his brother being lived out, right? So culturally, their name would mean how they were going to live or be like. That's or describe them. Does that make sense? And so later on, when Jacob gets married, he gets not just Rachel, who he really loves, but he gets Leah. And so Leah was kind of like the person he wasn't supposed to be engaged, but his father-in-law manipulated that whole situation. But anyway, Leah has children. And so the first one was Reuben, which means the Lord has seen my misery. And second, Simon, I am not loved. And then third, Levi, because I hope my husband attaches himself to me now. It's like, why would you name your kids misery and not loved and unattached? That's a crazy story. You know what I mean? And so every time Jacob called out Reuben, it's like, oh, I remember them. Why she called him Reuben? You know? Yeah, it's just an odd story, right? And so I love the Bible because it hides nothing.
That's right.
Don't you love the fact God's not hiding these real life stories, right? And so, ladies, here's the thing. When you name your kids, make sure you're in a good, healthy spot. Because, you know, it portrays later on, right? It portrays later on. Your kids will self-discover. It's like, why did you name me Reuben? Well, son, there was a time I was miserable, right? So could you imagine doing a job interview if you're a boss or something and the guy comes in and you look at the paperwork and it's like, oh, look at this guy's name is Brock. You're like, hey, Brock, nice to meet you. He goes, no, my name's Broke. Well, why is your name that? Well, my mom was broke when she had me, you know. That's why she named me. So that's just a, anyway, all right. Be careful how you name your children. So Esau was like a modern-day Teen Wolf. Does that make sense? All hairy, just, oh my goodness. And then you have Jacob, who was this chef wannabe, and shepherd as well. Loved to cook. There's nothing wrong with that. But there was this constant tension for their purpose and their place in the family. All right? And so you see even Jacob deceiving Esau for the birthright, deceiving his father for the family blessing, and his mom put him up to it all. You're like, this is a dysfunctional family.
Yes, it is.
And it's like, it's right there, and God uses this family to bless the world? You know, it kind of makes you feel good. It's like, we're not that bad. We're not that bad. You know what I mean? It's like watching Jerry Springer. It's like, my life is not that bad. Amen? Anyway, just a weird family dynamic. And so, but the third thing they struggled with was their own deceptive hearts. You ever had moments like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And you struggle with things in your life of what maybe what you did, what you said, even what you thought, choices you made. You're like, oh man, why did I do that? And so that's part of just life and learning, right? Learning through your mistakes, learning through those bad decisions or choices, and you're like, oh man, there's a huge lesson here. And so Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. And I, the Lord, can cure the heart. So when we come to know Christ, our heart changes as well. We get a name change and a heart change.
Amen.
Right? So he gives us a new heart. Right? And so we see Jacob struggle with getting his father's approval. He already had his mother's, but he always wanted his father's approval, and he knew Esau had it. He goes, that's what I want. And so he was deceiving his brother, but also deceiving his father at the same time to get what he wanted. He wanted to manipulate that blessing. And so parents, here's what we have to realize. Here's a little nugget here. Our kids are sometimes struggle for our attention and blessing. You just have to be aware of that, right? Just a little nugget of truth there. But they long for that. And here's the thing, as parents, we're called to bless them, whether verbally and everything else for them. Amen? And so, Jake, you see Jacob doing that in his grandpa years, right? He's just blessing his grandkids. He blesses his two sons, and they long for that, right? No matter what age you're at as a man, you long to hear those words of affirmation by your dad. Right? But here's the thing, when we get saved, we have our Heavenly Father's blessing. Right? Every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places is our blessing. Ephesians 1:3. Right? And so, even if we didn't never got our or received an affirmation, know that you have your Heavenly Father's if you're a follower of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you got to realize. Amen? And so, here's a Jacob story that I found this week. So there was an older gentleman, had an only son. And so the older gentleman was a dad, he was his dad, and so he wanted to plant a tomato garden, but it was very difficult for him, so he's writing his older son, but his older son's in prison. And so he writes him this letter. He says, Dear Vincent, looks like there will be no tomatoes this year. I'm just too old to be digging. I wish you were here to dig it for me. Love, Dad. A week later, the dad receives a response. Dear Dad, so sorry I'm not there to help, but whatever you do, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vincent. Soon the FBI agents arrive and dug up the entire garden, but they couldn't find any bodies. They apologized to the dad and left. The next day, the dad got a letter in the mail. It says, Dear Dad, go ahead and plant those tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. That's a Jacob moment right there. right? And so, knowing how to get things done even while you're in prison, right? That's funny. But that's kind of the deception of our hearts, right? How do we deal with the struggle within? Because that's the real struggle with all of us, the struggle within. It's like, how do I understand everything? How do I grow in all these things that God wants me to grow in? It's a struggle. Relationships with family and everything else. And his life is going to change drastically in just a few chapters. All right? And so, let's go to the next one. Number four, to find someone to love. I kind of talked about just a little bit. And the question is there really someone out there for me? And so Jacob might have been thinking, you know, if Hairy Esau can find a wife, surely somebody will marry me, right? But here's what he was doing. He was playing the comparison game, right? And so sometimes we compare our lives to others, and you're like, well, I wish I had what they had. I wish I had their spouse. I wish I had that job. I wish I had that. You know, it's just like that's the wrong kind of thinking, right? At least the envy and jealousy and covetousness, which we shouldn't have inside, right? And so, but here's the thing. God's timing for Jacob was special. And so don't be in such a hurry to find somebody. Wait for God's timing. Amen? Wait for God's timing. And so, again, marry in the Lord, marry with your parents' approval. And so, remember, Rebecca says, you need to go to my family. They're going to take care of you. You're going to find somebody. Well, Jacob leaves his house and his home, and with Esau, like, hating him, holding a grudge, all those kinds of things. And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit later. But he finds this well. And so Jacob's love story starts with he found his wife at the watering hole. Literally. That's where we get that figurative term. Well, where did you find your spouse? What, the watering hole? It's like, well, I know what that means. Right? It's a different kind of well. And so, but he goes and he sees her brothers. She comes along at a time frame where when she wasn't supposed to be there. It was like almost an accidental, coincidental thing that she would arrive with her sheep at this well because it wasn't the time of the day for her to come yet. So he's sitting there talking to her brothers, and it's like, well, man, that's a big well. Why is there a lid on it? It was like, well, it's heavy, and we got to guard it, and that's why we're here to protect it. And he's like, well, okay. And then all of a sudden he sees Rachel come with her herd of sheep, and he's like, woo! She likes sheep, and she's beautiful too, right? And so he goes, and he shows his manliness. He takes this two-man cover off by himself, right? And so he goes and helps her water her sheep, and then he kisses her, and then he starts crying after he kisses her. And you're like, this is a weird first impression date. You start crying, all this kind of stuff, and it's just like, but that's where he was just so emotional. She runs off, goes and tells her dad, hey, you got to meet this guy. He's probably thinking, man, I just messed this whole thing up, right? And so he goes and works out something there, and he's like, well, hey, you want to marry my daughter? He's like, I'm in love with your daughter. What do I need to do, right? And so he goes, well, I'll work 7 years for it. He's like, oh, I'll take that deal. And then he manipulates another 7 years, gives her Leah and all that kind of stuff. So Laban was another character that, you know, Jacob met his match and then some, right? And so, but that struggle to find someone is real, right? For guys and gals both, right? So just be patient, right? And so if you're single, you're saving a lot of money and a lot of headaches. 1 Corinthians 7, you need to read it, all right? Now, so here's the thing. If you found the one that you love, like, man, I am so thankful for the one the Lord brought me. It's like, well, man, love them to death, amen? Honor them, cherish them, respect them, enjoy life together. Man, I get to look at the second greatest gift that God is ever going to give me in this life. It's like, well, what's number one? Your kids? No. It's Jesus. That's the greatest gift, right? And so this is just a cherry on top. My wife. and then my kids, right? And so he finds the one that he loves. He has to work hard for, but he says, man, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. His heart was with Rachel. All right. And so number five, the struggle there. Then the struggle with his own family and work. Now here's, it's easy to be critical of Isaac and Rebekah and his own family dynamic growing up. Now he has his own family to deal with, right? It's like, that's a different story. It's like, it's easy to criticize until you're in it. And it's like, oh my goodness, I understand what Dad went through. I understand what Grandpa went through, right? And so now it's on me. And so trying to manage everything. So he goes from single to four women in the house, having 12 kids, working for 20 years for a manipulator. It's like, how do I manage all of this? He struggled. He talked about sleepless nights, working outside with the sheep, caring for them, fighting off things, and paying out of his own pocket when he lost his sheep and all this kind of stuff. And he sacrificed big time just to please his father-in-law, who changed his wages 10 times on him and just took advantage of him. He's like, he came to a point, he's like, something's got to give here. I can't keep working for this guy. You know, growing up as a kid, I kept hearing guys talk about, you know, I'm tired of working for the man. I was like, what man are you talking about? Working for the man. It's like, now I understand. As you're growing up, it's like, I understand what they're saying, right? There's a moment to where you're just like, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own man, right? And so there's that moment. But how do I manage all of this? I got work wanting my attention. I got my wife. My kids are all fighting for me. How do I manage it all? And then Esau, his brother, made a promise to kill him. Then he has that burden on his shoulders because of what he did. It's no wonder guys like hunting and taking a nap in a tree stand to get some peace. You're like, Andy, you're not supposed to tell people that. That's our secret, man. We swore an oath. I talk to guys who do that, and they're like, man, I just need to just get away and be with the Lord. You know, I just look at creation, look at nature, and just hear his voice. And guys, there's time when he got away. In this chapter, he got away. He sent things away, and he got alone with God. There's moments where you need to do that. Amen. Jesus got alone with his Father, woke up early to do it, and got to a solitary place, went away from the disciples. Like, I got to get away from things. I need to hear from the Lord on about what's going to happen next in my life. All right? And so when life can be just overwhelming at times, but here's the thing. I want you to encourage you with this. Enjoy the blessings along the way. Does that make sense? Yeah, we got to know life is hard, but God is good. And so the little gifts that he gives us, enjoy them. Right? The birthdays, the blessings, and the moments, the family moments, the vacations. You know, I still remember all the vacations I took as a kid. Do I remember every single day of being at home with my mom and dad? No. But I remember those big moments. Your kids will always treasure those moments. Amen? I'll never forget my senior year. My dad is like, I don't think he was a big roller coaster person. So we went to Cedar Point. He wanted to take us to Cedar Point, my younger brother and sister, and my mom. So my other brother's already married, and so he got to miss out. So I was teasing him about that. So we go, and we get on this Magnum 2000, 200 feet in the air. It took 2 minutes just to climb up the thing. And my dad the whole way kept looking. He was in front of us, and he looked back at me. He goes, what did you get me into? I mean, his eyes were just like this, and all of a sudden we hit that heel, and it goes inverted like that, and you could hear him scream like a schoolgirl. It was like, oh, it's the funniest moment of my life. Oh, my Lance. Never forget that moment. We laughed. Oh, my goodness, we laughed. But how do you manage all of that? That's the key question. And so that's where that mentor comes in, just getting that counsel along the way. And you got to realize, you know, when your kids are young or they're getting ready to graduate, know this, guys, sleep is on the way. I'm telling you, sleep will come. Enjoy that, all right? All right. Family and work, number six, to have God on your side and his blessing. And he struggled with this because he kept wrestling with, you know, is he really for me and with me? You got to go back to when he was sent by his parents to go. So this was his first time on his own, all by himself. So he's making this journey to his mom's brother's house, Laban. And so in this moment, he had this Bethel moment. So he had this dream. And so he saw the stairway to heaven, that story. Angels coming down, angels going up. And he has this meeting with the Lord, and he called it Bethel. This is where God's house is. It's like, oh, he had that moment. He poured oil on the rock, and he treasured that moment. Because God said, I, just like I promised your dad and your grandpa Abraham, I'm going to be with you and for you your whole life. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be fruitful. And he's like, God, if you're willing to do that, then I'm going to vow to give you a tenth of everything you bless me with. And he makes that vow. And he has that moment, but then he gets married, and then he gets into real life struggle, the 20 years of the grind. And he figures out, and he starts wrestling with God. He's like, God, have you really blessed me? Have you really done what you promised to be with me? I don't feel you. I don't sense you. Life has been hard. It's been a struggle. And God comes to him at the end of those 20 years. And he says, don't you remember when? It takes him back to that Bethel moment. Don't you remember what I told you? Now, here's what we struggle with. Our perception of his blessing versus what he gives us to learn as the blessing. Oh, that was huge for me, right? Huge moment of understanding right there. My struggle is with the gift that he gives me as the blessing versus what I want from him to be the blessing. And God's like, you're not going to manipulate me, Jacob. No, I'm going to give you what's best for you. And you're going to have to understand and trust me. My blessings are worth more than anything this world can give you. So guys, it's in the grind of going to work, doing the same thing, getting up and doing the same thing over, paying the same bills, eating the same meals sometimes, Taco Tuesdays, you know, it's like grinding through all of that for a reason. There's going to be a moment to where God, you look back and you're like, wow, God, you have truly blessed me. I knew I didn't see it. And so, but he wrestled with that. Whenever hardship came to him, he always had that question in mind. God, is this part of the blessing that you promised? And the answer is yes. You'll learn more through suffering than you will a life of ease. Amen. And disappointment. Young guys, hear me out. Life's not going to be easy. Life's not going to be easy. But here's the thing. God's created you for this time in history. That's right. For a reason and purpose. And you've got good guys around to learn from, okay? To help you out, okay? We're here to call, we're called to help each other in this life, right? And so, Jacob's wanting this blessing from the Lord. God protected him, he says, I blessed your family. And here's the thing, he says, please, let Esau pass. We got to reconcile this. So there's one missing piece in Jacob's life. So he dealt with his father-in-law. He's leaving, and they reconciled there. Then all of a sudden he hears news, Esau is after him. And there's 400 men that Esau has with him. And he's like, oh no, Esau's been storing up for this moment. He's going to come and just get me with these 400 men on his side. And so he says, wives, family, you got to go on this side. I'm going to protect you from the river. And so I'm going to stay on this side. I'll take the brunt of it all. If Esau comes, he's after me, not you. So he wrestles all night with God. It's like, God, please change the heart of Esau, probably what he was praying. Let there be peace. Let there be this freedom between us. Help us to bury the hatch of 20 years ago. And so Esau comes and Jacob sends gifts ahead of his family. It's like, Esau, these are from Jacob. And he's trying to ease his mind, thinking that if I give him gifts, maybe that'll reciprocate. And so Esau comes and he's like, oh, Jacob, they embrace. You know, and he was like, oh, man, I wasn't even expecting this. I was thinking the worst. You ever think that, guys? I think the worst and something good happens out of it. It's like, oh, completely misread that situation, right? And so now he reconciles with Esau, and it's like, oh. They hang out, and they have a meal together, and they just bless each other, and they part ways. It's like huge weight lifted for both of these guys. Remember, Esau said to his father, and he wanted this blessing, and Jacob says, I've already given it to Jacob. But he says, don't you have a blessing for me too? So Esau dealt with this victim mentality for a while. He held a grudge and was angry and bitter. And he had to lay that to rest with his brother. Because his dad says, unless you get rid of that, you will never be blessed, Esau. On Jacob's side, he's like, I hope my brother forgives me for deceiving him for that. That was wrong of me. And they got it worked out. It's a beautiful reconciliation story. But he wrestled with God all night over that moment, right? And God still confirmed and was on Jacob's side. Then lastly here, with personal significance. The question here is, am I making a difference in this world? With life's routines, hardship of life, you're like, am I really making a difference? Am I just working to pay the bills? Is there something, is there a bigger purpose here? Am I making a difference with my kids, my friends, my family? Am I doing things that the Lord wants me to do? And sometimes we focus on what we can't do versus what we can do. Those around you, men, need you. But they need you at your best. It's like, what does a man look like at his best? A man who's filled with the Spirit of God, in love with God, loves his word, is prayed up, filled up, right? And loved up. And his soul is at rest and peace. I mean, there's just nothing. It's all good, right? So that's where our families need us. Our kids need us. Our wives need us. And it's out of that we live a life of significance. And I challenge the first service. I'm going to challenge you guys as well as men. Never compromise your character. No matter what happens to you, no matter how hard life gets, you stay strong in Christ. Amen. You be a Daniel. You be a Joseph. You be a Moses. It's like, well, any times were different back then. No, they're not. Same peer pressure, same temptations, just looks different. Never compromise your character. You'll be remembered for your character more than anything else. So your influence comes from your character and is the overflow of that. So I came across this saying. I'm going to read it to you. Because I think, guys, we struggle with this. We struggle with insignificance. Have you ever felt small or insignificant, like what you do doesn't matter anymore? Have you known such feelings? Do they haunt you? If so, it's crucial for you to remember that God does not, nor did he ever, see you as insignificant. Nor has he overlooked you. That's an amazing statement right there. God, have you forgotten about me? I mean, is this, am I just not on your radar? On the contrary, he views you as one of the most powerful warriors on this planet. To think otherwise is to believe a lie. Wow, that hit me like a... Whew. It's essential for you to realize that suffering and disappointment are God's way of exposing your weakness so that you can find your identity in his strength. It's a hard lesson to learn right there, guys. It's like, how do I understand all of this? God's after shaping you to be more like Christ so he can mold you. And let's keep going. Regardless of how bleak your past or present may look, as a man, you're a warrior engaged against the forces of hell in a war of eternal value. That's your true identity. Wow. You come to realize that truth, that'll change you a little bit. You're fighting for your heart and your hearts of your family, and he's wired you to do battle and offers you his unlimited strength to assure you victory. He's given you the very armor of God, Ephesians 6. The armor that Jesus had. Remember when Saul tried to give his armor to David? And David's like, this doesn't fit me. This thing, I just got a sling and a stone. You want me to wear this, all this stuff? And David's like, I can't fight like this. And here's the thing, God knows how you fight may be different than another guy in a spiritual sense. But the same armor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords fits every single one of us. Amen. It fits. Sort of put on the armor of God. It fits. Because those days of evil will come against your family. Right? They will come. And you have to stand firm. And you've got to fight spiritually. Amen? We're engaged in an eternal battle, but your eternal value of seeing yourself as God sees you is so important. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for just learning from this guy named Jacob, Lord, that you turned into Israel. And so we thank you, Lord, that you don't name us according to our past or our character. You name us in Christ and for our good and for our future. We bear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Father's blessings. Lord, help everyone in this room, every guy, understand who they are and what you can do with our life. Lord, help us to be a blessing to those around us. Help us to realize that we are already blessed, so blessed in Jesus. Oh, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy more than Jesus. Your goodness is what we really want to see and to experience in our life. And Lord, we thank you for the promise of Psalm 23. That your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And one day we will see the Lord in his dwelling forever and ever. Lord, we thank you for those who are getting baptized today. We are so grateful for your work in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.